This is Cashflow Ninja, episode 90 with Gerald Salente.
Welcome to the Cashflow Ninja, the podcast empowering and inspiring people to discover how to generate their own income and manage, grow, and protect their own wealth in the new economy. Now, here is your host, MC Laubscher.
Hello everyone, MC Laubscher here, and welcome to the first episode of 2017 of the Cashflow Ninja. In today's show, I'm very honored to have on the show as returning guest, Mr. Gerald Salente from the Trends Research Institute to talk about the top trends of 2017. If you listened to episode 19 featuring Mr. Gerald Salente, you learned how to identify, track, and forecast trends and saw what was coming in 2016. Mr. Gerald Salente forecasted on the Cashflow Ninja that Donald Trump would win the U.S. presidential election and discussed why, and also shared that we would see a wave of anti-establishment movements growing in popularity around the world and impact elections and referendums across the globe, speaking about Brexit and the five-star movement in Italy. Mr. Salente also shared other trends that are now documented history. I would highly encourage you to listen to episode 19 if you missed it. Trends research analysis expert, futurist, keynote speaker, and institute director Gerald Salente is trusted by many as the foremost authority on trend forecasting, research, and analysis. He's the author of Trends 2000 and publisher of the Trends Journal. Published and documented evidence proves that his institute has produced the most accurate, timely, and comprehensive forecasts. Gerald Salente's extensive range of knowledge and expertise makes him a favorite of major media. They call on him for unique perspectives on the current events forming future trends. He is the world's only analyst who covers 300 diversified trends fields. As the world leader in trend forecasting, Salente, with combined resources of his Trends Institute, will analyze all the trends affecting you. Please share your feedback and thoughts on today's interview. You can let me know your thoughts on Twitter by tweeting me at MC Laubscher or by email info@cashflowninja.com. And please remember to join our mailing list by signing up at cashflowninja.com or texting cashflowninja, one word, all capitalized, to 44222. That's 2 4s and 3 2s. As some of my listeners may know, I live in Newtown, Pennsylvania, a town that's about 45 minutes away from Philadelphia, the birthplace of the United States, the home of the cheesesteak, the Rocky Steps, and also the hometown of the beloved founding father, Benjamin Franklin. Benjamin Franklin believed an investment in knowledge pays the best interest, and early to bed and early to rise makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. The Cashflow Ninja have aligned itself with partners that aims to empower you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Our healthy partner Onnit provides supplements, nutrient-dense, and earth-grown foods and fitness equipment to help you achieve your next level of well-being and total human optimization. Our listeners can get a 10% discount with coupon code GETONNIT at CashflowNinjaHealth.com. Our wealthy partner Fundrise gives everyone the opportunity to invest directly in high-quality real estate without the middleman. Fundrise makes the process of investing in the highest quality commercial real estate from around the country simple, efficient, and transparent. You can get started with as little as $1,000 and do not have to be an accredited investor in order to participate in some of their offerings. You can check them out at CashflowNinjaWealth.com. And don't forget our wise partner, Audible. You can download any audiobook for free when you try Audible for 30 days. You can download your free audiobook at CashflowNinjaBook.com.
Hey, this is John Lee Dumas from Entrepreneur on Fire, and you're listening to the Cashflow Ninja podcast with your host, MC Laubscher. You must be prepared to ignite.
Joining me is the world's top trend forecaster and editor and publisher of the Trends Research Institute, Mr. Gerald Salente. Mr. Salente, welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks for having me on.
The fall edition of the Trends Journal is available, and I just want to congratulate you on another fantastic edition packed with valuable information and truly history before it happens. I'm really excited to talk about the top trends for 2017 that you recently released. Now, the presidential reality show, a phrase that you trademarked before the reality television show champion Donald Trump announced his candidacy. You're on my show in May. You had forecasted that Donald Trump would win the race to the White House, and Trump won against a stacked deck. There was a lot more losers during this election besides Hillary Clinton, and this also ties into your first top trend for 2017, Make It New.
Yeah, what Trump proved is there's no political party, basically. He took over the election. You go back to October, you had the, you know, the Republicans, the top Republicans weren't even giving him any encouragement that they would support him. I mean, that's how negative it was. So in the Making It New, as we point out, is that all the old lost. Obama lost. He didn't only defeat Clinton. They lost, the Democrats lost the Senate and the House. Hollywood lost. $100,000 a plate fundraising dinners. The biggest names in Hollywood, from Spielberg to Katzenberg to Clooney to De Niro, one after another, coming out against Trump, strongly supporting Clinton, they lost. Silicon Valley, the Zuckerbergs, the Schmidts, the Googles, the Facebooks, they lost. As WikiLeaks showed us, that Eric Schmidt, head of Google over there, or Alphabet now, was behind the Clinton campaign very strongly. So the best algorithms, the best minds in Silicon Valley lost. The major media lost. They all called it wrong, right up until the end. So you go up and down the line, and you look at all the losers, and you realize, oh, I forgot, the rappers, Jay-Z, you know, the Beyonce, you know, she was there, not a rapper, but all the other ones, the Miley Cyruses. So the entertainment industry lost. What this shows us is the opportunity to make it new. People aren't only disgusted with the elites entrenched, they're disgusted with the entire system. And so the opportunities are to create whatever you want to create. The proof is there.
And this is global too. Again, as you said, everyone is disgusted with the system, from the Italian referendum where Renzi just had to resign and lost that, to the rise of the popularity of the Pirate Party in Iceland. So this has been global. And you had mentioned about in our previous conversation on this podcast about the 2016 top trend, which was ready to explode, which really bubbled to the surface this year.
Yes. So, again, the future is in the people's hands. And as you mentioned with, was it Fonzie or Renzi? I get it confused, you know. You know, he got beaten. You know, and he got beaten bad. So what we're looking at is the five-star movement, Cinque Stelle. They have a woman now, the mayor of Rome? I mean, you know, that's pretty big stuff. You know, it's one after another. It's throughout the world. The people are tired of the same.
It's so true. We have listeners all over the world, and they've reached out to me, too, with their disgust towards the establishment. Now, another trend for 2017 is economic disorder. The Trump presidency is here. What do you see in store for the life of the average person in a President Trump's economy? Markets, trade policies, and more are happy days here again?
You know, in many ways they are. You look at the people that he's picking. And again, you know, I'm not a supporter of this guy. I only call trends the way they are. And the fact of the matter is, you look at the top people he's picking, whether it's the guy for Secretary of State, from Exxon, Mobil, Tillerson, Wilbur Ross, the top, you know, hedge fund guy, Mnuchin, another one. I mean, these are all, you know, very successful people in the business world. Are they my kind of people? No, they're ruthless. Many often, you know, you can see in their, in some of them. I'm not talking about all of them or any of them, just in general. by the deals that they do and the people that they've hurt with the buyouts and what have you. But the point being is that this isn't about politics. It's Trump. It's about business. And that's what changes it. So he's picked a business cabinet at the top. And these aren't cabinet members. They're senior vice presidents. It's going to be run like a business. And when you have guys at the level of Ross and Mnuchin and Tillerson, these aren't political guys. They're just there to do business. So the business of America is going to go back to business where under Obama and Bush and Clinton, the business of America was bombs. Bill Clinton's wars throughout his term in Iraq, Bosnia, the Yugoslav War, George Bush's war on terror, never ending, Obama. Obama's war has been going on the total 8 years of his presidency. You look what he did in Libya, Syria. You know, now we're in Somalia. So now with Trump in there, he's talking about business again. And then it goes back to who's going to win and who's going to lose. The emerging markets are going to go down heavily because of all the money they borrowed in cheap dollars. And today, for example, the Federal Reserve just raised interest rates only for the second time in 10 years. But nonetheless, they're going to start seeing a stronger dollar. The dollar's at 14-year highs hitting. And the emerging markets' currencies are going down. So they have all this debt that they took out in dollars they have to pay back with more of their currencies. So it's not going to be good for a lot of the emerging markets, particularly China, where it's trying to stop capital outflows any way they can. And the yuan now is, down about a 6 or 8 year low against the dollar. So there's going to be a lot of problems in the emerging markets as the dollar gets stronger.
True nostalgia is also a top trend for 2017, a trend that Trump tapped into his messaging and marketing with Make America Great Again. Can you share a little bit more about this powerful trend?
Sure. It's nostalgia, as you said. And of course, nostalgia is a distorted view of history. But nonetheless, there were things that made America great. Again, when was the again? So the marketers should understand this and that the people want a taste of the past, but to retrofit it for the future. True nostalgia beyond the millennials, Edison bulbs, you know, to make this thing real. You know, when there was a different level of quality, style, elegance, grace, whether it was architecture, music, movies, behavior, whatever it might have been. So we're saying to our subscribers is, pick that piece of the past that you like and retrofit it for the future if you're in business. And playing with the theme, play the Trump card, Made in America with Pride. Stamp your products and promote them in that way.
Another powerful trend that you and I discussed previously, too, is Rest in Peace, the Fourth Estate. The presidential reality show performance by Trump really exposed the media for what they truly are, establishment stooges. And I don't know how they can recover from this. And now they're doubling down, of course, with fake news labels and accusing the alternative media or anyone touting non-establishment lines as Russian propagandists. Are they done?
They're done. And you're seeing it in the numbers. The newspaper business is, you know, this is not going to be a weekly. There'll be more weeklies than dailies in the future. You're seeing it with their advertising revenues going way down. I get the Wall Street Journal delivered every day along with the Financial Times and New York Times. And the Wall Street Journal in the last month, they fired so many people, they shrunk their content by about 40%. The importance of this is that I rely on information as a trend forecaster to make forecasts. Now I'm getting less and less information. So it's not as though you have more, you know, online sites and that kind of thing. You need reporters, you know, to do the work. And they're not doing it anymore. There are no feet on the beat, so to speak. So the Fourth Estate, and you summed it up perfectly. Them taking these stupid, cheap little shots with fake news and Russia hacking into the Democratic National Committee's emails. So they're doing anything they can to try to show that they have some kind of importance anymore, but they're dying very quickly.
And it amazes me that they doubled down too. I mean, the New York Times basically had to write a letter to their readers saying that they're going to rededicate themselves to reporting the news honestly again. I mean, it was quite shocking.
Well, they haven't changed, because in Monday's New York Times, they had a story: with success comes dissension from an anti-establishment party rising in Italy. On a gently curving street lined with furriers, a yellow building with a tinseled fake Christmas tree in the foyer. But unlike the real estate agents and lawyers working above and below, the employees in the second floor offices are busy managing online elections, spreading fake news, and fomenting a political revolution. The employees work for the firm of Casaleggio Associates, the unlikely nerve center propagating the bare-knuckle message of Italy's anti-establishment five-star movement. Now think of what I just read. This is by a guy named the reporter Jason Horowitz. So certainly you spell Horowitz with a W rather than an H, because this Horowitz is the perfect prostitute of the toilet paper of record, the New York Times. They're in their second floor offices, busy spreading fake news. Hey, Horowitz, you little boy, show me the fake news. You're writing about it, Junior. How about telling us what it is? Horowitz, or maybe whore with no wits. So that's the kind of New York Times crap they're still putting out. He mentions fake news related to the five-star movement three times in that article, and this little slimer of a nobody doesn't show one example. How about that for fake news? The New York slime. Horowitz.
Mr. Salente, what do you think will happen to alternative media with this censorship trend starting to accelerating that we've already seen on social media platforms such as Facebook and Twitter?
Facebook and Twitter will become taken over by somebody else. A smarter people will take over that won't censor. So they're going to start losing out. Something will replace it. The internet's not owned by Facebook or Twitter or Google. So they'll lose out by doing it. Something new will step in its place.
I totally agree. There's already this platform called Gab that have over a million people just listed on their waiting list. They haven't even really totally launched. And then there's also a decentralized blockchain social media source called Steemit, where there's not any censorship. So there's already replacements moving in and stepping to fill that void, as you're pointing out.
Yeah. And again, these are little boys. These aren't men. Men don't do that. Horowitzes do it. Prostitutes.
It amazes me. And the other trend that you mentioned too, Rust Belt 2.0, and you've spoken about it, that Silicon Valley also lost big time in this election. And there's a technological wave sweeping the globe that you write could trigger a historic rapid transformation of how societies live, work, and play. Can you share a little bit more about this trend?
Yes, the thing is that you don't have to be in Silicon Valley. Like, you need the Rust Belt areas around the world, these cities that declined at a time of strong manufacturing or industrial revolution. They were there because of the resources or the location, whether they were rivers, waterways, whatever they may have been, seaports, or the resources. The mind doesn't need a location. It could be anywhere in the world. So Silicon Valley had its place in building the infrastructure of the digital revolution, but it's expanding around the world, China, South Korea, countries throughout Europe. Your mind could be anywhere. So we believe that Silicon Valley, as evidenced by their narrow little thinking and how they lost the election, is going to be the next big Rust Belt of the United States.
Very interesting. And then also another trend, reefer money madness. Marijuana actually won more states than Hillary Clinton did.
Yeah, very funny.
A very powerful trend to watch. And another trend that you mentioned is that this there's some opportunities for entrepreneurs to take advantage of. What are some of these opportunities that that you speak about?
Well, one is in the reefer money madness. You know, 28 states now you could either buy it for recreational medical purposes. This is just the beginning of it. But it goes beyond those two purposes. You're going to start seeing it putting in more products. It's going to start hurting other industries, particularly the beer industry. And states are going to want more and more of it because in Colorado, which is the prime state for cannabis, they're getting more in tax revenue from pot than they are from booze. That's a big one. So on the entrepreneurs, you take all the things we talked about. If you're making a product, whether it's in the UK or US, you stamp it with made with pride in whatever country you are, and then you play the trump card for an entrepreneur. And that is you start running advertisements. For example, let's say you're going to make sneakers in America, and you go where Nike's headquarters are, and then you buy up tons of radio time and TV time and paper time, newspaper time, and you start attacking the top guy, Phil Knight, for sending all those jobs overseas to get his product made by slave wage laborers and then bringing it back and marking it up to these high prices that they sell it to us for so he could become a billionaire. So you're going to buy his product or Made with Pride in USA footwear? That's the kind of thing you use as an entrepreneur. Goes back to the first trend. Make it new. It's there for anybody to do. Trump proved it. They're proving it in Italy. They're proving it, as you mentioned, the Pirate Party, one after another. It goes beyond politics. It goes to products and services.
And there's so many examples, too. Look at Nigel Farage with Brexit. Our people initially just started laughing at him when he even suggested that they could possibly get out. So the opportunities are there, as you mentioned. Another trend which I really enjoyed reading about was VRED. Now, the education system is definitely, we're so far behind. And this is pretty exciting. Our virtual reality is no longer just for video gaming. Can you share a little bit about this trend?
Yeah, the education system is an industrial age model invented by the Germans. You get people to read, write, do a little bit of arithmetic, but most of all put them in a location to follow orders. And that's what the education system is. It's an industrial age model, and it's not working well. If it was, we wouldn't be in the problems that we have right now. So with virtual education, you have the best instructors, the best teachers in the world, and you feel like you're sitting in the classroom in whatever field you want to excel in. And that, so right now people are looking at it as video games in that market. We see it much bigger. And also then all of a sudden you don't need all this tax money stealing from us to send your kids to these crappy schools with teachers that all they have to do is pass exams to be able to teach. And they're teaching general education. So now you're going to have specialized education with all of the information that we have in finding out what a young person could want to be, what they're good at, what their potentials are, rather than forcing a bunch of garbage on them to pass a state test that they give you to see if you're, you know, doing okay in school. So the virtual education to us is really one of the going to be the biggest areas of virtual reality that we see coming down the line.
Very, very powerful. And as you mentioned, it is a German-based model, the Prussian school education designed to deliver good soldiers and good factory workers to turn on and off the machines. We've spoken about education on the show before, of the importance of being a lifelong learner and constantly updating your existing skill set and learning new skill sets to serve and provide value for others in this exciting new economy and time that we live in. So this is definitely a trend that I am very excited about and will watch. Mr. Salente, now you also spoke about no more cash, and we have seen the two largest denominated notes taken out of circulation in India. We've seen coins in South Korea and now Thailand in 2017 already. So this trend is already very, very much in motion and accelerating. Can you share a little bit more about this?
Yeah, the governments want to know where you're spending your money, how much you have, so they can take as much of it as they can in terms of tax. And so it's going to continue. I mean, in Sweden, you know, they're hardly using cash anymore. And young people are just used to using, you know, digital anythings, so they won't mind not having cash. So the realities you mentioned, you know, with India and South Korea, and you're going to start seeing it more and more. So what we say is this is the way it's going. We don't like it. But for investors, what companies are going to profit from it? Where are you going to see growth? Who are going to be the winners in this? And also, you're going to start seeing more and more, we believe, people buying gold. And it's already happening in China. They're buying both gold and bitcoins as their currency is going down. So now, let's suppose you lived in India and all of a sudden 86% of the currency is taken off the market. What would you rather be holding, gold and bitcoins or those rupees that you have to go turn in? And if you have too many of them, they're going to ask where you got it from, and then you're going to have to pay tax on it. So that's where we see the other side of it.
Yeah, it's very interesting that basically to make the existing system obsolete just with the virtual reality education, you have to develop something outside of it that makes the current system obsolete. And it looks like that's what Bitcoin and all of these cryptocurrencies are doing as well. What are your thoughts on some of these developing cryptocurrencies and blockchain technologies?
Well, the blockchain technology is real, and it's expanding into every aspect of banking and business. And the other currencies, I don't know. You know, they could dive in a day, you know, as we've seen with Bitcoin so many times. You know, now it's right at a 34-month high because the Chinese are buying so much of it. So I think when you look at these things, to have not to put all your money into one pile, and to understand that it could shift on a dime or a day, as they did with the rupee in India. No one knew about it, and it just happened overnight. So again, I look at gold as, to me, is still a safe haven asset, even though it's not going to perform well in the United States with higher interest rates, because gold gives you nothing in return, and people put their money in treasuries and other investments to get assured interest rates. I still look at it as a safe haven, considering there's a whole world out there and a lot of destabilization, particularly in emerging markets.
Speaking about broken systems, what are some of your outlook in 2017 for the global economy and Europe and the banking system especially? We've seen a lot of trouble in Italian banks, for instance, and other European banks like Deutsche Bank, which I thought some of the problems that have been identified and looked at there would have started to ripple through the entire global economy. What is your outlook for 2017?
For the United States, we're looking at a much better economy. I mean, again, the Trump cabinet, these are business guys, and the government does a lot of stupid things, and they're not going to be doing it. It's not a government game anymore. It's a business game, and he's serious about it. And at least he appears to be. And so, but for the rest of the world, the higher interest rates are going to force them to raise interest rates. And the higher interest rates go, the less cheap money out there. The less cheap money out there, the less speculation in the markets. However, a lot of the money never went into rebuilding businesses. It went into speculation, stock buybacks, and merger and acquisition activity. So we may see a little slowdown in market activity, but it could be very beneficial for businesses to build again. And so the United States, we think, is going to be at the top of it. Countries like a lot of the African countries, not well at all. Japan, we call it a stalled, neutral. Europe, same, more of what's the same. Same thing with the UK. And China, between negative and positive, playing both of them. It's not going to be a straight line. And the other Asian nations flatlined to down as well. The emerging markets, as I said, Brazil down, are going to be hurt the worst as these interest rates go up. The dollar becomes more valuable. Their currencies become less valuable. And they have to pay all that debt that they took with cheap dollars back in dollars, but they're going to need more of their currency to pay off that debt. So that's the way we see it. It's an economic disorder. But again, for the United States, this is the first time, and I can't tell you in how many years, that I've seen a positive turnaround as we forecast it for the economy. And again, there's always the wild cards that could turn this around. But in the absence of wild cards, we think it's going to be one of the better years ahead.
Mr. Salente, how can my audience learn more about the Trends Research Institute, the Trends Journal, and stay informed of all of the projects that you're involved with?
Well, they could go to trendsresearch.com, trendsresearch.com. And again, beyond the Trends Journal, we do a Trends Monthly, Trends in the News broadcast each weekday night, Trend Alert each week, and much, much more. We have conferences over here in Colonial Kingston, New York. Just had one 2 weeks ago. And people from all over the world come here. The last big one we had in July, the two-day conference, they came from Chile, Australia, Ireland, Switzerland, across the country, around the globe. So we really believe we're the only ones out there providing history before it happens.
Fantastic. Mr. Salente, thank you so much for coming on the show and sharing the top trends for 2017. I wish you and everyone at the Trends Research Institute a healthy, wealthy, and prosperous 2017.
And my wishes to you and all the listeners as well. And thank you so much for all that you do to keep putting out great information.
Hi, this is MC Laubscher, the host of the Cashflow Ninja podcast. As you may know, I'm also the president and chief wealth strategist of Valhalla Wealth Financial. We help individuals, families, small businesses, entrepreneurs, and professionals build their wealth outside of Wall Street and help investors maximize the use of every dollar in their personal economy and boost their investment gains. We do this by combining their capital and investments with the financial vehicle of the wealthy, according to the infinite banking concept. If you are interested in learning more, you can email me at info@cashflowninja.com. And I will send you a copy of Nelson Nash's book, Becoming Your Own Banker. Thank you for joining my guest, Mr. Gerald Salente from the Trends Research Institute, and myself on the Cashflow Ninja podcast today. If you like what you hear and appreciate what we're trying to build here at the Cashflow Ninja, please subscribe, rate, and review our show on iTunes and share our show with family, friends, and your network. I really have been humbled by your support and feedback. I love getting those daily emails from you. And if there's any way that I can provide more value to you and serve you better, please reach out to me at info@cashflowninja.com. Don't forget to take advantage of the offers from our partners that aims to empower you to be healthy, wealthy, and wise. Our healthy partner Honor provides supplements, nutrients, and earth-grown foods and fitness equipment to help you achieve your next level of well-being and total human optimization. Our listeners can get a 10% discount with coupon code GETONIT at cashflowninjahealth.com. Our wealthy partner Fundrise gives everyone the opportunity to invest directly in high-quality real estate without the middleman. Fundrise makes the process of investing in the highest quality commercial real estate from around the country simple, efficient, and transparent. You can get started with as little as $1,000 and do not have to be an accredited investor to participate in some of their offerings. You can check them out at cashflowninjawealth.com. And our wise partner, Audible, offers a free audiobook download when you try Audible for 30 days. You can download your free audiobook at cashflowninjabook.com. From everyone at the Cashflow Ninja, have a happy, healthy, wealthy, and prosperous 2017. That's our show for today, everyone. Until next time, live a life of passion and purpose on your terms.
You have been listening to the Cashflow Ninja with your host, MC Laubscher, the podcast empowering and inspiring people to discover how to generate their own income and manage, grow, and protect their own wealth in the new economy. Today's show notes and resources are available on our website, cashflowninja.com. This presentation is for educational and informational purposes only. The information being presented and considered does not consider your particular financial objectives or situation, and it does not make personalized recommendations. This material is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified tax and legal advisor or other qualified professionals, and you should not use the information in place of a customized consultation with a licensed professional regarding your specific personal financial objective, situation, and needs. We believe the information provided is reliable, but we do not guarantee its accuracy, timeliness, or completeness.